You see, he never calls us into something that he hasn't already made the provision for us to accomplish it. He always leads us to triumph. Defeat is not part of the kingdom of God. Defeat is not part of the kingdom of God. Retreat is not part of the kingdom of God. You read in Ephesians, was it chapter 5 where it or the 6, where the armor of God, you know, chapter 6, you know, there's nothing on the back. Because God never intends for us to have to run and retreat. He always intends for us to be led from victory to victory. And God, defeat is not God's way of growing. Some people think, well, you know, I've got to go through these hard things so I learn and so on and so on and so on. Hey, God works everything together for good. God knows how to use everything in our lives, and he will. But your demise and your defeat is not from the hand of God. It's either our own doing or we've opened ourselves and given the enemy access to our lives. God has nothing but good plans to prosper us. Amen? Because he's so good. I mean, God is good. And sometimes if we get confused, you know, then we don't get to receive the strength of the truth of the word. His love never fails and never gives up. And it never runs out, no matter what happens. Amen? Amen. And everything he calls us into, he's already made a way. Amen? Amen? Thank you, God. That was good worship, wasn't it? Thank you, worship team. I know it was a lot of effort this morning to find the heart of God, but thank you that you have. See, it's worth finding the heart of God.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's worth it not to just come in here like any other Sunday and just go through the motions. It's worth putting an effort into grabbing a hold of God in your life. It really is worth it. You know, it's worth making time for God in your life. And I thank God that as the worship team came in and they began to get ready, they were endeavoring and doing everything they could to just get themselves into the presence of God and hear the voice of God and prepare for what God has for us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for what you have prepared for us. Lord, we thank you that all that we have, Lord, in this wonderful kingdom has been given by your hand. There's nothing that we have that we've gotten on our own. We've received it all from you. Your word says every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. Now today, Lord, I ask for that good and perfect gift, Lord, of just fresh revelation to us today. I ask that your word would be open, your word would be clear. I ask, God, that you would just speak to our hearts and so that we can hear your word and it builds faith in our lives. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You know, I always enjoy what I receive during worship of the Lord. I always enjoy, you know, because the greatest thing that I can have is my heart put in right place to receive all that God has for me. That's the place that as Christians we need to try to walk in, a place that we're receiving from God. And obviously then we get to the place that once we received it, freely you've received, freely give. But the Lord never asked us to give before we were on the blessing end of the receiving. Amen? So I'm so blessed with what we had today in worship. I'm blessed that we got to spend time with the Lord. And I want to linger here just a little bit. Because could sing the song again. Maybe at the end, we'll put the worship team on alert. Maybe at the end, we've got to end with that song. Love never fails, never gives up. What a truth. And it's simple, isn't it? You know, very simple, the truth. That his love never fails us and never gives up. Did anybody ever give up on something in your life? Has anybody ever been given up on in your life? Sure. We know what it means to give up. And we know what it feels like when somebody has given up on us. But thank God that He never gives up. Never gives up. And His love never runs out. Never runs out. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Well, I remember a while back, I received an invitation in the mail, and it made me feel real important. We know what it's like to get invitations to certain events. We know what it's like when everybody else gets an invitation and you don't. You ever someone, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, but I forgot to send you an invitation, you know? But I got this invitation a couple years back, and I opened it. It's like, wow. It was an invitation for me to go to Washington, D.C., and have dinner with the President of the United States. Anybody ever get an invitation like that? Nobody else there got one? Some of them you might have. You know where I'm going with it, don't you? Some of you might have got one of those invitations. But I got this invitation. I showed Tammy. I said, wow, look at this. I got an invitation to go and have dinner with the President of the United States. And I'm thinking, that's quite an honor, isn't it? But as I started reading the invitation, it was surely an invitation to go to dinner, absolutely. But as I read, I have to RSVP, but with my RSVP, I had to put something with it. $5,000. But he's the President of the United States. $5,000. That's all it took, right? I should have called Linda. She would have been jumping all over that. Let's go, huh? Buy a ticket for you and me. But $5,000 for this invitation to go and sit down and have dinner with the President. Now, you might say, well, the $5,000 is based upon the fact that he's probably the most famous, most important person in the world, right? Or close to it, right? Most powerful person in the world, you know? So you put a price tag on that invitation. Now, I also know that you can get invitations from other people, maybe not quite as at that status, and you might have to only put out $1,000. Right? They're basing the price on the importance or how famous or what they feel that person is worth. But how many know I didn't go have dinner with the President? I didn't do that because I felt it wasn't worth it to me to put out $5,000 to go and sit and have dinner, nor did I have the $5,000. But you know what I thought of is if I could say, look, I can guarantee you a sit-down dinner with God. I can guarantee it. What would the price tag be? I mean, if to go to have dinner with the President, right, $5,000, it probably went up because that was a couple years ago. Inflation and all. I mean, what would people pay if you knew for sure that you could drive to a place, to a fancy, would take the fanciest hall you could find, and God Himself would come, and we would sit at the table, and we would have dinner? I bet you people would probably pay. I mean, it might take you time, we'll give you time to save up. In fact, we can give you, I'll give you 10 years in advance notice. And you can save up. You can put it in saving plans, and you can save up maybe $25,000. You know, I really think that if we can ensure and make people realize and believe that they're going to sit down and have dinner with God Almighty, right, I believe that they would do whatever they could to save up that. I mean, if that's all you got to do is save up $25,000 and you get to be face-to-face with God Almighty this side of death, then, it might not be a bad deal. But God has given us an invitation, hasn't he? Yes. I believe our Christian life is based on his invitation. Last week we talked in John chapter 1, where there was two men that came by John the Baptist, and John was saying, hey, there goes Jesus, you ought to follow him. And they ran after him. And we read it last week, so I'm not going to read it again, John chapter 1. And they said that as they were following him, Jesus sensed it, turned around, and said, what do you want? They said to him, where are you staying? The invitation that Jesus gave was, come and see. It was an invitation given. And I believe every one of us have been given an invitation. Every one of us, the Lord has come and given an invitation for us to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. An invitation. Our relationship with him is based on an invitation. Now, let me tell you something. If I would have spent that $5,000, I would have walked into that White House like I owned it. I got an invitation right here. What are you doing here? You know, the Secret Service stops me, wants my identification. What are you doing here? Right here, buddy. Here's the invitation right here. It says the president had invited me personally here. I have a right to be here because I have an invitation. You know, if I would call you and say, hey, would you come to my house and we're going to have some dinner? Would you just come? You wouldn't feel bad knocking on my door, would you? Because I gave you a personal invitation. Now, if you just showed up, first you got to get by Zeke. Those of you that know Zeke. But anyway, if you just showed up, who knows, I might not even be home. There might not be anybody there to welcome you. But if you come by invitation, hey, the carpet's laid out, the door's open, we're waiting for you. You see, your relationship with Christ, your relationship with God is by invitation. And you have the right, because of that invitation, to come knocking on the door. When you come to the Lord, he is waiting for you. The welcome has been laid out. And you don't have to at all feel like you don't belong there. Or feel like, if I show up, is he going to even be there? Maybe not. Let's take a chance and just stop by. No, it's by invitation that we're here today. You're here today by invitation. You've been invited here. You know, first, there might have been somebody in the congregation that invited you, but you're also here because you know that the Spirit of God has invited you. And by the way, I just want to say, praise God, we've got Greg Woods with us today. Amen. And Greg's been in and out of the hospital and going through some tough times, but he's up here raising the flag, worshiping God. And so what a blessing it is. And we also have Gary Seibert with us. And he's been in and out of the hospital and in therapy and so on, getting stronger. And it's good to see you guys. We're blessed to have you. And I'm blessed to have everybody else here, too. I want you to know that it's a blessing to be with you, to worship God and to enjoy. We have Esther all the way from South Africa. Esther and Shannon is here, her daughter. Esther is the mother of Tiffany, the young lady that stays with Jason and Jamie. And so she's over here visiting for a while. Good to see Johnny, too, Johnny. Good to see you, buddy. And I don't want to embarrass anybody by calling them out, but it is good to see everybody. I could go one by one and call you all out and say it's good to see you. I'm blessed to have you here. But you see, think of it this way. God is so blessed when you answer his invitation. I mean, he doesn't just throw the invitation out there and say, well, if they come, they come. It doesn't really matter. You know, we're going to have a dinner anyway. You know, no, he's preparing your favorite stuff. He's getting ready for you. He knows what you need and like before you even know what you need and like. And he's inviting you to come. You know, David said, you know what? He even prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. See, David knew what it was like to respond to the invitation of Almighty God. Now, if I invited you to my house, I might have a few more limitations on what I could provide for you than if you went down to one of those $5,000 dinners with the president. You know, I guarantee you, you're going to have nicer china, you're going to have, you know, nicer surroundings, might even have a little bit more entertainment than what I could give you. Right? But I'm telling you what, the Lord has no limit. No limit to what he has prepared for you. The scripture says that your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard. It hasn't even entered your heart. You can't even imagine what God has in store for those who he loves. God has so much for us. But yet, the invitation's given, and what are we doing with the invitation? But the invitation comes in all kinds of times. You know, I know at times I've heard him call my name when I was in the midst of, you know, the most rigorous, you know, situation where things just didn't seem to be going right, and the panic button was like just about there. It was this growing red panic button, and my hand was just right ready to hit that panic button, and everything didn't seem to be going right. Hey, come. Come over here. Come here. Come here. You know, his invitation oftentimes doesn't come at the most convenient times. I mean, I got an invitation this morning sitting here. That's very convenient. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. I got an invitation to hear your heart and to be involved with what you're doing. Thank you, God. I love that. But it doesn't just come when I'm sitting here. The invitation comes at all different times. And it's not always at the most convenient time. But I want you to know, he knows the time to invite you. And he knows what the right time is. Amen? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, if you would. Thank you, Lord. Jesus spoke in parables when he spoke to people because he wanted them to understand. And he came speaking things of his kingdom because he wanted us and he wanted those at that time to understand the things pertaining to his kingdom. But he had to put it in ways in which he felt they could understand. And God does that in our lives, you know. You know, some people get caught up and they think they have to have some holy language, you know, that God speaks in the King James or whatever. But God speaks in a way that you can hear. You know, he speaks in a way that you understand. But let's read this. He was talking to them. And Jesus answered in verse 1 of chapter 22. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." Now, when Jesus said this, the disciples were on the edge of their seats because they wanted to know. They knew he was from God. They saw what he did. He displayed his ability and his authority and his power. And they knew. So when he said, "Hey, you want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like?" They were just on the edge of their seat listening to this. So then he said, "It's like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come." Now think of this now. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is just like this, a king. Now why did he use a wedding? We can understand how Jesus is the bride and the church is the groom. But the wedding is where people went all out. The reason I believe it, yeah, there's some correlation there to Jesus, you know, we're being the bride of Christ and so on. But I believe in speaking to these people, they knew that, you know, first of all, he's a king. That means, man, this guy, he has no limitation to what he can offer to his people. And now all of a sudden, here he is, the king. He has authority, he has means, he has everything, you know. And now, the most important dinner for this king, you're invited. And he said that he sent out the invitations, but nobody would come. And let's continue to read. He said again, verse 4, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, all these things are ready, come to the wedding. So it's not just, hey, a king has a wedding. Now people didn't respond. So the king then said, well, go out there and tell them, hey, we've got prime rib here. We got lobster tail. We got all the favorite desserts you'd ever want. We got, you know, tell them what the menu is. You know, it's like when we have our luncheons. Everybody wants to know what's on the menu. But we come for the fellowship. We come for the fellowship. The food's always good, but we come for the fellowship, right? Amen. Amen. And so anyhow, here the king now says, let's go out, elaborate a little bit. Maybe they didn't totally understand. Do you totally understand the value of saying yes to Jesus? Do you totally understand the value of being called into that place of relationship, to being called into the realm of his kingdom and as his authority? Do you understand the value of all that? And the king said, go out there and tell them what they're missing. Go tell them all of this. So he went out and told them. He says, look at the oxen, the fatted cattle, they're all killed and all those things are ready. Now come. This is the second time. It says, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. And it says, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies to destroy those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. How many fit into one of those categories? Both bad and good. I'm glad he put that there. Both bad and good. He said, go out and invite them all. He said, the ones that are so-called worthy, the ones that were invited, they're really not worthy. Why? Because they wouldn't answer the invitation. They wouldn't say, yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord. It reminded me back in the story of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the young priest, where Samuel, as a young boy, his mother dedicated him to the things of God. And when he came of the right age, she brought him to the temple. And Eli was the priest there. And the presence of God was still there. And the word says that when Samuel went to sleep, he heard the Lord call him, Samuel! And he'd get up and he'd go over to Eli, the priest, said, what do you want? Eli's like, what do you mean what I want? Go to sleep. Stop bugging me. He said, no, you called me. Go back to sleep. So again, the call went out, Samuel! He got up again, and Eli finally realized what was going on. God was calling Samuel. And so he told Samuel, he said, when you hear that again, when God calls you again, you need to respond to that call and say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel goes, lays back down. Guess what happens? The call still came. You know what? The call of God never left that place. It's just that before Samuel got there, others have hardened their ears to the voice of God. The voice of God did not leave Israel at that time. It did eventually. But at that time, it did not leave. It was still there. It said the lamp was still burning. It was about going out. But the Lord raised up somebody that when he called, would respond. I'm telling you, it means everything to us that when we hear him call, that we respond. That we learned to hear the voice of God. And that we learn that when we hear that voice, we need to respond. You know, we talked about being invited. And we talked about you can be invited to important people's house and so on and so on. The invitation, God, the creator of heaven and earth, invites us. You know, as you look at the scripture and all the major stories that we see, and all of those that stepped out in such faith, they did it by invitation. Moses, hey, look at, bush is burning, come over here. I've heard the cry of my people, I've come to save them. Moses was given an invitation to be part of what God was doing. See, God gives us invitation to be part of what he's doing, to be part of his kingdom as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. You know, we were born in this world. We're here whether we like it or not, right? You didn't come by invitation. You came because you were born here, right? And you're here whether you like it or not. But the neat thing is now that we have said and realized that Jesus is our Savior and he has offered forgiveness of our sin, we can receive him and have a relationship with God, we now have a choice. And that choice is we can respond in a positive way to an invitation to a life beyond that which we have been naturally birthed into. We get to say yes to doing life with God. We get to say yes to an invitation of the creator of heaven and earth who created a new life within us. Paul even wrote, he said, you know what? The same God that made that sun out there shine has shown in your heart to give you the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. This same God now invites us, hey, let's do this together. You're going through a hard time? Listen for the invitation of God. Say, hey, let's do this together. Why wouldn't we take that invitation? It said that this invitation went out. Jesus was saying, hey, the kingdom of God, you want to know what the kingdom of God is like? You want to know how to tap into it? You want to know how to be part of it and so on? It's like this king that had this dinner and he sent them out and the people, you know, gave an invitation. They wouldn't come. He sent out and he elaborated on what they were missing, what this king was doing. The king didn't have to do that. He was king. But he did it because he desired them to come. And he sent out and he said, look, don't miss out on this. I've got life and life more abundantly for you. I've got peace that passes understanding. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got wisdom that comes from above to download to you. I've got the joy that will become a strength in you. Don't miss out. He sends out the invitation again, and guess what? Said they made light of it. Let's not make light of the invitation when the Holy Spirit speaks and calls us. Hey, let's do this together. Let's do this in another manner. Let's do this as a child of God. Let's do this as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Let's do this as a chosen one, as a royal priesthood in a holy nation. Let's do this with the power of God. Let's do this through Christ who strengthens me. Let's do this walking and being led by the Holy Spirit instead of by our situation and our problems and our emotions. Let's do this. And the invitation comes out to us. And it, let me tell you, the value of this invitation, you cannot put a price on. You cannot put a price on it. But people don't understand its value because there is no price. Because it's freely given, and we freely receive it. And sure, once we receive it, we want to give everything away because we know what we have is much better in Him than what we have in ourselves. There's not a price tag put on it. I don't have to pay my way to get a relationship with Jesus. I just have to desire it and answer His invitation to come. Then, when I'm in His presence, guess what? I don't want all this junk I was carrying around I thought was valuable anyway. I'd rather let go of that so that my capacity to grab a hold of more of Him is increased. That's what John the Baptist says. Hey, I learned something. I must decrease so that He can increase. And John the Baptist wasn't such a bad guy. I mean, he gave up everything to follow His call and His purpose that he was born for. In fact, Jesus said, among men, there's no one better than Him. But even he said, you know what? I've got to decrease so He can increase in my life. And that's how it works. We've got to, you know, stop putting a false charge to the things of God. You know, it's not like I've got to be better and I've got to stop these thoughts before I can say yes to God. Or I've got to, you know, act better. Or I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, I just have to simply respond. Even in John chapter 1, we talked about that earlier. He walked up and he saw a guy and said, hey, come on, follow me. And his life from that point on was changed, not because he cleaned up his act, but simply because he said yes to Jesus and followed Him. It was the invitation that empowered him because the King was beckoning him. And then even, was it Nathanael, when he was called, he came and Jesus said, hey, here he is, a man with no guile. And he said, what? You don't even know me. And he said, hey, you know, I saw you under the tree before your brother came and told you about me. And he said, wow, you must really be, you know, sent from God. And he said, you believe because of that? He said, I'm telling you, you're going to see greater things. If you keep saying yes to my invitation, you're going to see heaven open. You're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. If you continue to say yes, you're going to see the kingdom of God. You're going to see God activated in your life. You know, we want to see more of God in our lives. We got to step up to His invitation more readily than what we have been, right? And that's how you see more of God. So finally, as they went, they finally said, you know, the King said, just go out there and just invite anybody. The good, the bad, the ugly, the little, the big, the rich, the poor. It doesn't matter. Just invite them. And if they're willing to come, and they're willing to allow me to robe them for the dinner time, then they can be here. And the reason I say that is, there's a story goes on. It says there was one that didn't have the dinner garment on, and Jesus went and said, or the King went in this story, and said, "What are you doing here? You can't be here. Get out," because he refused to put on the identity that was given to him to sit at the table of the King. Amen? And there's many things that can go on with that. There's many, you know, we refuse to put on the identity that we have in Christ, you know, for whatever reason or another. But anyone, he said, come. It doesn't matter. The good, the bad, anybody. Bring them. The invitation is given. I was reading in Luke chapter 12, if you want to turn there. I'll start with verse 35. Just trying to to think what the Lord would have for us to consider when we consider this wonderful invitation that He's given us. Luke 12:35 says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." Now, your waist being girded, right? What does that mean? At the time where how they would dress, they would have robes on, right? And before they would go on a long walk or before they'd get involved in anything that was active and required them to move with any kind of precision or speed, then they would, instead of the robe being dragging on the ground and getting in the way of their feet, they would lift the robe up and they would tuck it in to their belt. And that's what it talks about, having your waist being girded. In other words, be ready. And your lamp's burning. In other words, the lamp being burning, we know the story of the virgins that were told to wait, but the lamp burning, you know, speaks of having, of being ready, being prepared to be able to follow the direction that the Lord gives you. And He says, have your waist girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for the Master when He will return from the wedding, that when He comes and knocks, they may open to Him immediately. In other words, He's saying that the way we need to be ready. And when the Lord knocks on our door, right, then we're ready to open it immediately. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've come to, as I'm trying to walk and hear God and be led by God, by the Spirit, right? How many know that we're trying to do that, right? We're trying to be led by the Spirit. We're trying to hear the voice of God, and we know we've got the true voice of God in His Word, right? So we're not going to just be listening for voices and not paying attention to His Word and not trying to walk in that. If you want to hear the still small voice of God in your life, obey the Word, the written Word, right? As He brings it to your mind, and you'll begin to exercise your senses to know what God sounds like. But anyway, I've come to find that there's many times that God will speak. But if I don't immediately say, yes, Lord, my natural mind kicks in and I begin to reason things. I begin to say, yes, but you know, what about this and what about that? And I begin to let my natural mind compete with the wisdom of God. And all of a sudden now, if I'm not quickly to obey God, now all of a sudden I've got all of this other stuff going on in my life that oftentimes I just put the invitation off because either I'm too confused whether that was God or not God, or my natural mind was able to get me to rationalize it away. And I don't do it. I believe Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. I believe He is speaking in all of our lives. And I believe our spirit even receives the word. The connection's there. It's not like we've got a problem, you know, like we're on the wrong wavelength or whatever. No, the Holy Spirit is in us. God has complete connection. The Spirit knows the heart or the mind of God. There's not a problem with the connection. The problem is the way that we process information, and that we are stuck in this natural way of having to think everything through before we act upon it. And I'm not saying you check your mind out at the door. But I'm saying that if we have the attitude that we're ready, that our loins are girded, you know, I've got my light ready to go in the direction He's saying. And I'm waiting and I'm listening. And I'm And the minute I know God says something, if my heart is already determined that that's what I'm going to do, then I'm going to be keener and I'm going to be able to step in and answer the invitations that God's given me. A perfect example, I could be in the grocery store and something speaks in me, says, you ought to just say something to this person here, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I don't immediately respond, this is what happens to me anyway. If I don't immediately respond, all of a sudden what comes in is like, well, this place is pretty busy here. I don't want to offend. I don't want to embarrass the woman over there. And, you know, who knows what they're going to say. And it's no big deal. And I blow it off. That's no different than those that were invited by the king. It says they made light of it. See, my mind, my natural mind, will always make light of the things of God. It always wants to say something is more important than that. It always wants to show that maybe it's a little bit smarter. I'm wise now. You know, I've lived a while. You know, I've traveled around. You know, I'm pretty smart. You know. But guess what? When it comes to knowing the things of God, nobody knows the things of God like the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God speaks, my mind is out of its league to think. It's going to say, well, Holy Spirit, I think maybe you called this one wrong. Maybe you didn't take into consideration this lady's feelings. She might be embarrassed. You know, you see what I'm saying? And next thing you know, we make light of it, and the moment's gone. And the Lord's saying, you don't have a clue. People, please understand what I have for you. What I have for you. I have the calf, the fatted calf has been slaughtered. I have such a preparation in my kingdom for you that you will be so blessed if you just say yes to that invitation. You have no idea what could happen if you just simply said yes. And I know there's probably testimonies in here of people that said yes to that voice of God in situations that maybe your natural mind would talk you out of, but you just went with it. And you were so blessed of what God allowed you to be part of in his kingdom. You know, many of you might have heard this story before, but years ago, I stepped on an airplane, and I sat down, and when I sat there, this woman came, and you could tell this is a woman that was an important woman. She was a businesswoman, dressed to the hilt. She was sharp. She was held herself with such authority. She was the cat's meow. When it comes to businesswomen, right? So she sits down beside me. And what comes up in me is ask her what her husband thinks about her traveling. And I didn't, honestly, it never went through my mind. It was all in my spirit. And I introduced myself to her and I said, you know, what's your husband think about you traveling? I didn't even look to see if she had a ring on. It's just one of those times I said, yes, Lord. She immediately broke down crying, sobbing. I mean, big time sobbing. I'm like, oh no, what did I do? So she says, you don't understand. She said, he doesn't want me traveling. In fact, he said that if I get on this airplane this time, it's over. We got to the place of our connection. The woman got off, got another flight, and went home. I was part of that. Was it because I was Mr. Great Marriage Counselor? No, I could have been.
He said your technique wasn't the best.
But if I would have let it go through my mind and figure out technique, guess what? I never would have done it. So I got to be part of that. And there's a number of other things I could tell you about. And there's other things I'm sure people in here could come and say, you know what, that happened to me this way. But I'll tell you what, to be involved and to have that invitation to be part of what God's doing, it made my day. I was blessed. I mean, I was like, wow, God, you are awesome. You know, that is incredible. You know, and in the presence of God and the anointing of the Spirit of God was like, I had food that others didn't know of. That's what Jesus said. The woman at the well, right? He went and responded to the Spirit of God, ministered to the woman, and others came back and said, you must be hungry. We went and got something to eat. Hey, he said, I got food you know not of. And they all wondered, you know, what's he got, you know? He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. We are missing out. We are missing out big time. And the Lord is telling us, hey, gird your waists. Get ready. Have your lamps burning. Because the call is coming. And if you'll say yes to that call, you'll have a life that you never thought was available to you. Let's continue. I'm still in Luke chapter 12, right? And when he comes and knocks on the door, open to him immediately. And then it says, verse 37, Luke chapter 12, it said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. He says, assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. You see, we're called to be ready to say yes in service to the Lord. But it says if we, those that do it immediately, and when the Lord gives you that invitation, he finds that you're ready, then we receive far more than what we're even able to give. You know, it says that he will gird himself and sit down, sit them down to eat, and will come and serve them. To think of it, in this, it's talking about the master. It's talking about the king. It's talking about somebody in the place of prominence that has the ability to give you far more than you can give them. And in turn, the Lord is talking in a parable of what heaven is like. You see, we have the opportunity to give our lives to be involved with what God's doing. But in return, what we receive is far more than we could ever imagine or think. He's going to come and serve us. He's going to bless our lives. He's going to fill our lives. He's going to gird our lives. He's going to give us the ability to be more than we ever thought we could ever be. He's going to pour his grace upon us. He's going to pour grace out in a way, in a measure that enables us to be the children of God, the people of God, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, all that we're looking for and striving to be and striving to grab a hold of as we read in the Word is all found when we just simply say yes to the prompting and the call of God to be part of what he's doing. And we have that opportunity everywhere we go. Now, there's things we can do to help ourselves be ready so that, like I read in Luke, we can gird, have our waists girded. In other words, you know, we can be in prayer, we can be in study, we can be getting ourselves ready for that opportunity, right? But let me tell you, whenever I've had those opportunities, it didn't all of a sudden, you know, send me to a particular scripture or whatever. No, I just said a few little things, you know. But what it did is it prepared my heart to be ready and listening. You know, as the scripture says, those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Waiting upon God, watching. Remember when Jesus went into Gethsemane and he had his disciples with him? He said, just stay here and pray. I'm going to go over here and pray. And he came back and they were sleeping. And he said, wait a minute, can't you watch with me even for 1 hour? He says, watch, you know, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If we don't purpose and if we don't plan to already say yes and already be involved in the things of God, and we don't make provisions in our lives to be focused on God, right, then guess what? Your spirit might be willing, but your flesh is weak, right? We need to watch. We need to be praying. He says, watch and pray, because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And if we do that, then it will help us to be engaged in the ways of God, so that when we hear that still small voice, when we're prompted that way, we just go for it. We just go for it. And I know most of you in here know what I'm talking about. Well, you knew you should have done it. In fact, a lot of times you walk out and said, I should have done it. I think I told you the story when I didn't do it and went back.
Yeah.
For those that didn't hear it, I'll tell it. I was in Seattle, Washington, and I was going to a meeting, and I was late. So I pulled into a convenience store. And I'm in there, and I get what I want, whatever. And I walk up to pay, and there was a young girl in there. She started sobbing and telling me her life story, right? You know what I did? I looked at my watch, and I said, I'm late. I don't have time to hear this lady. Just take my money, you know? She's telling me her whole life story, you know? And she's opening up. I mean, it was a tremendous opportunity for the kingdom, right? But guess what? I was busy. I had something more important. I had something more important than the kingdom of God that day. Anybody ever have that? I got out in the car, and God just convicted me. You know, I got out in the car, and I'm drinking my coffee. I'm saying, oh, man, what an idiot. I can't believe I did that, you know. And so now all of a sudden, in my own strength, it was like the spies. When they came back and realized they made a mistake, they wanted to go in again. No, you missed the door, right? So anyway, I'm in the car. And I'm thinking, if I'm late, I'm late. What's more important, Lord, is your kingdom. And this girl probably is going to get saved. And, wow, what an awesome opportunity. I don't know what it was she saw in me, but, man, she just opened up immediately, right? So I, you know, put all my stuff in the car, I get out, and I walk in, and the place is busy then. So I'm waiting for the right time, and I'm thinking, well, what do you think? Is it going to be okay with these people in here? Well, that's a family. They're not going to be so, you know, let all these rough bikers get out of here first, you know. And I'm in my own head now, you know, trying to lay the plans of God in place. And then I walk up to the counter. And my look on my face was, hey, remember me? I'm the one that, you know. She didn't give me the time of day. She went on her thing, and I said, how are you doing today? What do you care? That was it. And I left. And the Lord taught me a lesson. I need to obey immediately. He has his purpose. He has his plan. I can't arrange it. I can't manipulate it in my own being. I can't set things in place that I think are going to work. No, I just have to say yes to the call of God. And he who called is faithful and will do it. And the outcome, I can't figure in my mind. I don't know what God knows. I'm clueless. All I've got to do is when he does call me, I say, yes, Lord. And it opens up all of the blessing, all that he has prepared. Think of it. The Word of God says that he's prepared good works for us. Even before we were born, he prepared good works for us. That's all prepared. It's all been, each and every one of us, God has prepared ways for you to be involved in what he's doing. Ways for you to gather up the inheritance that he's given you. ways for you to be blessed beyond measure and to receive that food that no one else knows of. He's prepared all of that. And all you've got to do is engage in it when he calls you. Amen? And in doing that, we're the people of God. He's our God. We're his people. And he who called is faithful, and he will do it. Amen? So, Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, give us the ability, Lord, to just respond to your kingdom. Isaiah 26:3 says, he keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Colossians 3:2 says that to set our affections, other translations say minds, on things above. Right? Because that's where our blessing and our inheritance is. Hebrews 5:14 says that we can have our senses exercised through use of applying our lives and our senses in the ways of God. We can have it in such a shape that we are able to discern the things of God in a better way. Right? That's what he talks about. Maturity, being those that have their senses by reason of use, it says in Hebrews 5:14, by reasons of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, there's, Lord has a plan. A plan for us to know his ways and walk in them and receive the benefit and receive the blessing of being a participant in his kingdom and his purpose. It's our choice. Are we going to live out what this natural life affords us? Or are we going to trade that in and begin living for eternity right now? You know, a lot of our concept is, okay, yeah, I have eternal life. That means when I die here, I'm going to live forever with God. That's partially true. But the fullness of that truth is you're living for eternity right now. And it's a matter of our perspective. Are we going to live according to the temporal, the natural? The Bible talks about foolish people that gave up the eternal blessing for the natural. Said they gave it up for that. Anybody ever do that? Oops. We do it, don't we? But thank God we have the opportunity. And thank God that his love never fails. You want to sing that song before we go? Is that possible, Christy? Can you rev it back up again? Rev it back up. I want to sing that song again. Love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Come on, sing with me if you want them to do it. Come on. Let's go. Come on. We got to get them going here. Yeah, all right. She's a better singer. All right. His love never fails, never gives up. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's stand up. Let's give them some encouragement. They got to get all this back going again, and they got to get the beat working in their head. Probably better if I was quiet.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. As we get ready to dismiss today, you know, as I mentioned, when I missed an opportunity, I went back to try to reconstruct it and make it happen on my own ability. And it fell flat on its face. Don't leave here today and say, you know what, I should have said this to that person, that to that person, and go try in your own strength to get it going. Just say, you know what, from here on out, Lord, just help me to say yes when you provide the opportunity. That's what God wants. God wants just to quicken and make us keener and make us more alert so that when we have those opportunities, we step into them. We can't go back. He loves us. His love never fails. He never gives up. He's never going to stop giving you opportunity because that's how much he loves you. Just like the king, he didn't stop giving out invitations. He finally said, hey, look it, you know, anybody, just come. So don't go from here trying to fix everything because you can't. But God, as you answer, he who called is faithful. He'll do it, and let's just let him do it. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the wonderful songs we sang and the truth, Lord, that your love never gives up on us. Father, we just thank you that your love goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Lord, as we go, I thank you, God, that your love will, we can be sure. One thing we know, we're sure, no matter what the situation is that your love remains. We thank you for it, Lord. I ask your blessing upon each one. I thank you for the wonderful provision and the wonderful life that you have made available to every one of us, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, preparing the fatted calf, and thank you, Lord, for such an incredible salvation that you have, Lord, prepared for every one of us, Lord. We thank you, God, that ultimately we'll get, Lord, to see you forever in heaven, but I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a deposit right now, Lord, your spirit with us, heaven with us right now. We can live for eternity now. And Lord, we thank you for, Lord, such an awesome, awesome salvation. Lord, I ask as we go that we go in your blessing. Lord, you said that those are blessed, Lord, who put their trust in you. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just speak your blessing over those who have come to trust you. And we thank you, God, that we get to do life and with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.